Okay, I had a Thunderbird in the '80s that I could change the language on the dashboard.
All right.
All different countries.
I would like to call the Cultural Committee meeting to order. Time is 5:34 PM. Roll call, please.
Congressman Baker? Congressman Big Horse?
Present.
Congressman Mason?
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt?
That's you. Okay, we have a forum. Congressman Baker has notified me that he's got some medical stuff going on, so he is absent today. And Congressman Mason, would you render a evening prayer, please?
And that's it, Wakanda. Wakanda, Zink. Mighty Father God, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for the exchange of information and sharing of information given this day, Father God, for the betterment of our people. We come at this moment, at the end of this day, Father, and ask again your guidance be within us, in our hearts and our minds and our souls, our invisible beings, Father God, to take us through this meeting and into the evening. Put your angels' wings around us as we travel about, and angels around our beds each and every night, and around our, protect our families and our homes from the evil and Father. Protect us one and all, and be with the lost experience down in Zanzoli peoples, Father. They're lost down there, those families grieving right now, Father, and they're lost. This has happened there, Muslim people. Be with them and comfort them, Father. Be with us now as we go into the rest of this night, beginning at this moment, Father. Be with us in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next is approval of the minutes from the September 13th meeting. Congresswoman Stabler?
On the back page, I find a space there, under 1848, second line, after motion to reflect.
Upper house.
Space. Make a motion to approve as amended.
Second.
Okay, the second is to approve the amendments for September 13th as amended. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Opposed, say no. Okay. Dana?
Yes.
I would ask that as we begin discussion for a little bit, if you would mind please preparing the motion at the end, I'd like for this committee to take care of the bills, the sections that we've covered, so that we can vote on that, to send that back to appropriations at the end of the meeting. Okay, thank you. All right, next is consideration of ONCA 1832, an act to authorize and appropriate the sum of $1,100,000 to the Gray Horse Village Committee for additional construction costs of a community building, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Mason is the sponsor, and I will turn the floor over to you in a second, but I would like to reflect, welcome Chief Sandy Grant and Director of Operations Casey Johnson for being with us, our committee this evening, and then just reflect that they're in attendance with us to discuss, so. Okay, Congressman Mason.
Thank you. I'd like to present firstly our considerations, this committee to consider what's been in the planning stages and in the dream of the Gray Horse people for some time, for some years. And I'll begin firstly with back in 2006, when we started in the first Congress, which I was a part of. And at the time, there was a grant being written and presented to a funding source, I believe it was community block grant type monies. That grant was for and behalf of the Gray Horse community for a complex for a number of different things. Unfortunately, it was was unsuccessful, and so we missed out on some dollars and cents. And I say we because I consider myself a piece and a part of Gray Horse, as that's my cultural center. Next, there was another Congress that came about, and again, another grant writer, and submitted a grant to the same funding source, and it was denied. So there was a couple of years that were, unfortunately, the monies were not received due to the grants being not received and so forth. So we were ahead of some time that was vacant in there. Meantime, we were able to secure a beautiful arbor, dance arbor over there. And since that time, there's been some things that have happened, and I included and I sent out on August the 14th to all of you a history of what went on over at the circumstances at Gray Horse. And we've got a letter from George Pease, kind of a history of what went on over at Gray Horse. You have all of that. You read it before, and you have it in front of you now. And it's a good rendition of what happened over there in the years past, almost a year, then another year, and what transpired. That brings us up to this point where we are applying once again and coming to the Congress through this committee with a bill for $1.1 million to, in essence, get us a community center, a community building. And I want to share with you that there was a meeting held there, one of our drum keepers' meetings that we had in April of one of the years. And it was brought up at that time, and I was the one that asked our head cook at the time, what size do we want this new building to be? Everybody was excited that we're going to get a new building. We're going to get something. This was several years ago. And she mentioned she would like to have seating, be able to seat 420 people, because that was about the size Pawhuska. And we know what size, you know, we can use and the size of building necessary to seat 420. That was reduced to 320 by the architects early on, that we just didn't have enough money to build something that big. We can do it, and we can build something, a new building, for 320. And that was bumped up finally to 348 for X number of dollars for this size building. And as you can see, what happened from Mr. Pease's letter, that we had it all set up. We were going to build it at this site, this size building at this site. Well, some things happened from BIA, and there was some things that we were unaware of that happened, as far as a lot being used and a lot being claimed that it was unavailable. So we had to go back to the drawing board, and that has since happened. Now it's come to pass that that building that we are using at Gray Horse is a smaller of all of the districts. It's the smallest. It leaks. The roof has been damaged a couple of times, both by rain and by windstorms. We had one time the whole refrigeration went down, and we lost all the meat in there. You know, and just we're at a point, and I'll probably share a lot of this with when my time comes, if we are able to kick this out of this committee and we have the full Congress. But I will share with you, you know, we have at this table some who are involved as cooks. And when we have our Saturday meals and our committee dinners, when we have a funeral, we have a funeral feast, when we have sometimes a community J-O-M something function there, sometimes a simple thing as a hand game. Some are participated by a few, and some by middle, and some big participations. But at this time, our drum keeper and our committee would like very much to invite all of our Osages that attend our Eloshka to come on Saturday, like they do at Pawhuska. But we're not able to do that because we can't seat everybody.
Yeah.
And we have to humbly ask that just the committee come. And that doesn't feel and set right with us, because that's just not the way we were taught how to do it. But our committees are big now. You got 100, and each one of them are close to it. And that's 300 right there. And if you bring guests or one, we don't have space at Great Horse. We just physically don't have the space to do that. We have the cooks, we have the apparatus, we can cook. And as you cook sit here, you know how to cook for 100 or 200 or 300. You can do that. But we can't do that right now. And it feels uncomfortable. And we'd like to have a facility that is similar, if you will, to what Hominy has. That's a beautiful building that they have at Hominy. And the kitchen is designed well. The wash area is designed well. All of those kind of things that we don't have over there. And it's little tight quarters. It's a nice little building at one time, but now it isn't. And so we're here to present this particular piece of legislation, this bill, that says that Pasoli people over there, not only the drum keeper and all of the committee, but the people that use that, Fairfax and Great Horse people that have need for that building, will have a nice building. We'll have a facility that will last, be built and last hopefully as long as that harbor's gonna last. And right now though, because of having to change that, we're gonna have to take the old building down. It's gonna have to go away, put it on the ground, bring some dirt in, as you can read, and then build our new building on top of it. And there were some plans that were came across with this packet that I sent to all of you. You have the plans that hopefully you can see them. But it's kind of a layout of what we have. Total square feet and all of those kind of things that an architect will have. And Mr. Johnson said the architect is available by phone if you need to ask him any questions. But I think some of this is kind of, if you read through this, the history of it, see what the picture looks like, you have an idea of what the Great Horse people have gone through for a number of years just trying to get this building built. It is something that we make our dream come true over there, and that we too will have a quote complex like a Hominy, that we'll have that availability that we'll be able to resolve the parking, as we do have a need for that. That's always in all of our facilities. You have that many people come, you have that many cars, and we're just going to have to deal with that best we can over there, like we do at Hominy and Pawhuska. But we'll get it done. So anyway, that's my presentation at this time. I entertain any questions from you as members of the committee. I appreciate the Kahika for being here, and appreciate his support of this particular piece of legislation, and just want to share with the members of this cultural committee, those listening, that hopefully this will come true, and we'll be able to pass it off of this table out of this committee with a due pass and put it out to the Congress and move forward with it, and that in essence, Great Horse will have a building come their way. Yeah, gosh, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, boy.
Does anyone have any comments or questions yet?
I'll make one.
Okay.
I guess the first thing in looking at the layout and stuff, it is going to be tight. I'm really sorry that y'all aren't going to be able to extend it because I'm not quite sure. You're barely going to get that 300 and some more people in there.
It'll be good. We're going to have to do some dozer work, some dirt work, reroute that little creek back there behind our place and Joe Hall's yurt over there.
Yeah.
So we're going to reroute that so that the water can flow because we're, Great Horse on a hill, everything slants, of course. And so it's going to be an, once we get the water, get it all set just right, then the building will go up quickly. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of doing the dirt work and getting stuff running around.
I'm not sure, and it probably tells on here somewhere, but where is your cook area then going to be? Is it right outside the kitchen?
Yeah, it's on there, that cook, kind of, it's same kind of layout, it's going to be in the back.
Back of it?
Yeah, outdoor cooking there, yeah.
Outdoor cooking and everything.
So, also. The kitchen area and the wash area, the refrigeration area and those things. And the roof will be secure so it doesn't leak.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say to all of these cultural constructions that are going on in our cultural homes, I think are so important, in some cases more important than other things. And I've often thought over the last 12 years why they weren't handled before this, you know, why they haven't come along till now. So I like the design, I like the layout. I think that y'all have done a lot of work on getting it done, so.
Thank you. Congressman Big Horse?
Yeah, I just had a small question. Is this going, will this annihilate the new bathrooms that are there, or will they still be existing, or?
I think those restrooms that hold, that block's going to stay there. Okay. I believe that little building is still going to.
You all have some of the nice, you have some of the nicest restrooms.
They're nice. They're really nice. Yeah. We can build a random.
One more.
Yes.
Follow up. It looks like we parted it down from 1.4 to 1.1. Is that correct?
That's what's being presented. And there's always, it's all subject to change because you look at these dates and. And there are some changes that have occurred more than once.
Okay, excuse me. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. As I've stated to some of y'all before, there is a lot of uniqueness to this, the site especially. There's an 11-foot drop from the front of the building to the back. That means that there is an immense amount of dirt work and concrete that is going to have to go in there to make the building level. As Congressman Mason stated, we've got drainage issues. Right now, the roads department, along with J.T. Boynton, our architect, have worked together with tribal development and the five-man board, and they've done a lot of work around roads is up to approximately $500,000 worth of the work. I mean, they're getting the sidewalk down to like the last centimeter that they can pay for, you know, and then by law it has to be part of our construction. They're getting right up next to what's legal, so they're getting there. All of the parking, the lighting in the parking lot, the retaining walls outside of the parking lot, because you know, if you guys can imagine the site where the present building sits, from up at the street down past Cecilia Tall Chief's camp, mm-hmm. It continues it drops the whole way down. There's a plan for a retaining wall between just the other side of Cecilia's camp and then down there to aid with the drainage. Then there's drainage that's got to be put in underneath the road and the parking. It was at 2.4 million, or excuse me, 1.4 million. Wait a minute. Good Lord, now I'm confusing myself. It was at $1.4 million to get us, you know, to a total. And the architect trimmed off as much as he thought safely possible to ensure that the entire project got done, and we got down to 1.1. And so that's where we are, still giving the community and the five-man board everything, you know, that they can ask for. Better drainage. Some of that drainage is going to include, if y'all have been over there to dance, even with the way the new arbor sits from that parking lot, behind those benches on the, what is it, west side, it still puddles up and it still gets soaking wet, you know. So some of that drainage that the roads department's going to do is going to funnel all of that water off the site and away from the arbor. So we believe now, with the architect's complete input, that the 1.1 is absolutely what it's going to take. And that's, you know, hopefully barring anything unforeseen, you know.
Sure.
So that's where we are.
Okay, I have a couple questions. Where is, because I did not remember this until it recently came up, we already appropriated $1.8 million?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, where is that money? Has it been touched?
Yes, ma'am. So I'll bring you guys back a little bit, and for the new congresspersons here. I don't remember what the original asking price was. It was a little over $2 million, I think, and then it got pared down to approximately $1.825 million that was appropriated. Well over approximately $200,000 of that has been spent on the architecture and engineering. And I believe I brought this up earlier in the capital asset improvement budget when we were talking about that. When it comes to the Pawhuska Community Building, we're asking for $250,000 for architect and engineering, so we don't have happen again what's happened this time. An appropriation of $1.8 million, get the architect in there, and the architect comes and tells us, well, that's not, it's not even close. So this time we're asking that we do the architect and engineering first, so the experts can tell us what it's going to take to put a building of this size, of these dimensions, in this location. And then you guys can make decisions based off of the information, the good information that we're giving you, as opposed to, you know, I don't mean to say it like this, but it is what it is. A congressperson standing at the podium and you know, guesstimating at what the cost is going to be. We would rather have good, solid information so you guys can look at it and say, okay, it's going to cost $2 million to build this building. And then that's what you appropriate. Instead of appropriating the 1.8 and then us coming back here and saying, well, the architect tells us it's going to take another million and $1.1 million. So, and that's what happened. And as I've stated before, Gray Horse is unique. The Hominy
is unique.
Well, when we're talking about the construction of a building, yes, ma'am, it certainly is. If you look at Hominy, it's relatively flat. If you go over here to Pawhuska, it's relatively flat. When you go over to Gray Horse, you've got an 11-foot drop off. You know that we have to contend with. So.
So, I have another. Calling myself. I just have a few more questions, simply because, just like you said, I have to stand up there and make a vote, and so I'm not as personally involved as I was in Hominy, and, you know, being my district, I kind of went through that process with them, had many, many community meetings building up to that. So, because one point went, so, and I'm going to say some things, and I don't mean for it to sound critical, I'm just asking, trying to do my job, and for those that will say or have questions, then I can say I asked it, you know, that I know. So, okay, so I think part of the sticking point was in rerouting was that you ran into moving into someone's lot, a village lot, right? And so my question would be, and I just have to have this clarified for me, so it was so we didn't know it was someone's lot until they looked, and then folks at somebody's lot, and then they didn't want it. So why? Because that's a decision, that's not their personal land. That's a decision, lots, and the five-man board make those decisions. So if it hadn't been being used all the time, then why all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, that's so-and-so's lot, and you can't go on it. Help me with that.
Okay, those concerns were addressed. Mm-hmm. It was Joe Hall. It's Joe Hall's lot where his place is. They spoke to Joe Hall, and he wasn't concerned about it in the least, mm-hmm. according to the five-man board. There was only one thing that concerned him down back behind there is a manhole where the sewer comes out, and he was only concerned about not, you know, doing something that would make that overflow and backflow over into his area, and the architects said, no, it won't be a problem. I mean, that's the only discussion that I know of about any lot next door.
Okay, because I'm just trying to, and like I said, I'm not personally involved, so I'm just trying to put it in my head correctly. So I was understanding it like, okay, here's how they were going to place it, but because of how it expanded, it moved into someone's lot, and they're like, no, you can't go, I don't want the building into my lot, and then they're like, no, and so now we're rerouting and causing a greater expense because somebody doesn't want it in their lot.
No, ma'am, that is not correct. They spoke to him.
Okay.
They told, you know, Mr. Hall what was going to happen. He was perfectly fine with it, as long as we made sure that, you know, you address the sewer and not back up the gray water over, you know, which, you know, is legitimate. We don't want it coming out at all. You know, it doesn't matter whose lot it is. It doesn't matter if it's the village square. I mean, you don't want sewage coming.
Right. You know, no, and I'm
so,
not saying.
And that was that was it. Now the other piece of it, and this is my understanding, and I may be incorrect, but they're. I think we're talking BIA regulations or something as far as the villages are concerned, and Congresswoman Stabler may be able to clear this up, but there's the village square, which is public, and then all other individual lots are designed, and it really doesn't matter who's on it, but they're designed for individual Osages. And I don't know how any of that works. So I would assume that you may be able to change that, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing, and that's why all I wanted was clarification, because I'm saying, you know what I mean? Like, say I got a lot and I'm not doing anything with it. I didn't even realize it was my family lot or whatever. But that's a five-man board decision, as far as I understand, as far as those lots. And, you know, they can vote to decide to let somebody have this lot. So then it was being explained to me, like, okay, well, we found out it's going to go into their law, and they're like, no, I don't want to. So now we're causing a whole reroute and a greater expenses coming forth because of it. That's all I wanted clarification.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's not the case.
Okay, so the five-man board does have that authority according to the CFRs,
mm-hmm.
but getting it done, that's the problem we're running into with the abandoned homes.
Right.
The same thing.
Exactly.
Can't touch it unless we go through this big process to get it done. So that's probably something that they ran into. But other than that, it's a negotiation. We had to do the same thing, but it wasn't an assigned lot. It was a house that was had expanded into the public grounds. And so we moved their fence back and reduced their lot back to what they had originally signed for. So we had a little bit different. But you can expand the public square too, but then again, you've got to go through the process.
Okay, my other question is, at one time, Rhodes was going to assist, and then we're not sure now if Rhodes is, has any funding that can assist?
I just talked to Justin, or texted Justin Carr. Rhodes is definitely assisting. And like I said, off of the top of his head, it's approximately $500,000 worth of work.
For the roads and the parking portion of it, okay.
Yes, ma'am, the parking, the lighting, the drainage, retaining walls, sidewalks. You know, as much as they can legally fit in, that's what they're doing.
So let's just say that was 500, that's, wow.
That's, yes, ma'am.
Well, I mean, and see, this is the argument I made when everybody flipped out, the Hominy was getting $4 million, and I'm like, yes, but they're doing everything with it. Arbor, community building, drainage, everything. And I was like, y'all are going to be coming back for it, and now we're talking about a $3 million community building plus, so.
And again, Rhodes money was used in Hominy. And Hominy, you know, sits on a flat surface.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I was like, so it's unique, and I'm not even, we're not having a Hominy Gray Horse.
No, I'm just saying, that's why, I'm just, and I understand, no, I totally understand.
That's what we're looking at.
When you look at it on its surface, you know, you can get this much for, you know, $4 million. But then over here, it's costing $2.9 million. Well, a lot of it has to do with the terrain.
Right.
It's not that the building is bigger or better or anything like that. It's just the way it sits.
Just like, I think Hominy would have liked to go into the entire village, which is what it was for, not just that little piece, but because of the drainage issues down there. They didn't even get to address the rest of the village drainage issues because it all had to be put into right there. Okay, so Rhodes is. Congressman Mason.
Again, I like to use sometimes peculiar. Gray Horse perhaps is peculiar, like our nation is. But we get our electricity from Indian Electric out there at Gray Horse. We get our water from Gray Horse Rural Water that comes out there. It's not necessarily just city water. And the sewer that we have out there is, it flows into the retention pond. It all goes back down in there. So it's not city, anything tied with the city of Fairfax. It's all rural out there at Gray Horse. So it's just a little bit different as we get into those kinds of things and getting into code and the regs and all of that. So it is a unique kind of situation that we have to build something out there at Gray Horse, unlike the old days 100 years ago. But it's just wanted to add that on.
Right, thank you. Okay, Paula.
Excuse me, he said Paula. I'm so sorry.
Congressman Stabler.
All right. Well, that leads to something else too, and we received information on the retention pond, the lagoon. And it looks like there's going to need to be money for it in order to get it fixed too. $100,000 is tribal portion against a grant that they've got. So, you know, this is a complete rework, but, you know, maybe it'll all last for 75 years. That's my hopes, the next however many generations that would be.
Congresswoman Linda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and I were visiting earlier in the week or whatever, and I think that I feel it would be important to just restate something that the Director of Operations stated. And unless you've actually stood on the southwest corner behind the building, if my direction is correct, and actually visually taken in the depth of how much cement and dirt work it took to even get that building level from where it is, and that, and however many years ago that was. And then to know that, to really see it and know that that's, you know, a lot of the money that we're needing to have appropriated is due to that simple piece that Mr. Johnson calls peculiar, I mean, pardon me, Mr. Johnson calls unique and Congressman Mason calls peculiar. But it is enormous when you stand back there. And I'm pretty tall, but I mean, it's really big. Just wanted to say that, to really understand it and see it, to quantify it, it's immense.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to brief this committee on the schedule as well. You know, that we'll be under kind of a tight window here, as Holly was, as everyone, you know, is going to be replacing these buildings when they wear out. And Pawhuska will be in the same boat. We're looking at, you know, the week after Gray Horse in 2019, the demolition starts. And we have to do that because, you know, you only got, you know, 12 months until the next June. And we all know that those cooks are going to want to be in there a minimum 30 days out. You know, they've got to cut meat. They've got to do, you know, a ton of things. Now, we're pretty lucky over there on the west side because we have, you know, the new family center. So for things like funerals and, you know, other events like that, we do have the ability to utilize that facility, which I've already talked to the 5M board, and I've already talked to Sue Slinkard and Joni Hall about that building and what it's going to be, you know, possibly used for that year or 10 months while construction is going on. Many events will be held up there because it can hold more people than any other facility that we have. Now, again, it's still small. So it's not going to hold like the John Tall Chief funeral. It's not going to hold that many people. Our chapel didn't hold that many people. Maybe this new community building will be able to get everybody inside, you know, this time. So, you know, that's roughly the schedule, and adding on top of that, after y'all appropriate this money, we've got to get the construction out to bid, and then we have to go through the bidding process. And then we have to talk to the contractor and say, look, this is going to be your schedule going forward. You know, and that's going to take 90 days just to get somebody on board to do this. So that'll be, what, October, November, December, maybe January. And then he or she, whoever the contractor is going to have to sit and wait until, you know, the second week of June or whatever that date is. So, you know, we've got a lot of problems that we can solve.
That's a good idea, though, to utilize that building, mm-hmm. though. I mean, we ran into that at Hominy, like, mm-hmm. having a really hard time finding a place. Mm-hmm. So that's a good idea. Congressman Bighorse.
Yeah, I just a comment, and then I have a motion if it's in order. You know, our culture, we can go back in history here in our archives, and I can even go back to old man Andrew Bighorse when they were dancing underneath those brush arbors, and there was only maybe 20 dancers and maybe five or six singers. And then you advance forward, and then we have these small wooden arbors. And Chief and we've seen Archie here and myself, you know, we danced underneath those arbors, and there was poles everywhere, so you had to kind of weave your way around through there. And then come along the You know, the new metal ones, the size that Gray Horse was. And then, we, you know, those weren't large enough, so we started expanding them. And then Hominy, you know, they had their Hominy Bingo down there, and they had the foresight to start socking money away and built that larger arbor down there, which was, you know, made everybody in awe. And Pawhuska tried to expand theirs out, but, you know, that pipe is so old under there, you can only do so much with it. So, you know, we're bumping up to, I've sang underneath these arbors now for over 30 years. And have really enjoyed, you know, getting to see all of our dancers come in. And, you know, each year you see different faces. And some of them can come, some of them can't come. And a lot of them, it had to do with the accommodations of our size. And now you're seeing more dancers underneath that arbor than we've ever seen in our lives. If you count the numbers around there, we're seeing over 200 dancers on a Thursday night, when it used to be 50, 60 was a large crowd. So as we ever, as we continue to evolve and we continue to put 25, 35 new dancers in every year, we're already bumping up to bringing benches in to seat people with even, you know, those two or three extra rows added in for dancers. So with that being said, and there, if there's no other questions or no objection, I move to report ONCA 1832 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
1831.
This is 32. No, it's 32.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Motion passes. And we're done. With that, anyways. Okay. All right. Thank you, Congressman Mason and Chief and Mr. Johnson. Just want to finish up with.
Thank you. Thank you all for having us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, committee while we're together, we need to do our little appropriations section. So, can we make this motion?
We better be keen.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Go on the rest.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
I'd like to make a motion to report sections 21, 48, 54, 61, 66, 67, 102, 107, 108, and 109 of ONCA 1848 back to the Appropriations Committee as reviewed by the Cultural Committee.
Okay.
Second.
Sure.
Motion's made and seconded.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
Motion and a second. A second discussion. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay. And so I will. I'm still a little confused on how they were doing that, but I'll just, that'll make our report out, and then I don't know what happens after that. Quite
in this case,
in the appropriations, and appropriations. Then they'll tell us
appropriations, and then they'll
what's next.
Report out the whole ball of wax.
So at least we're giving that back to them that we've done everything, and so now all we have left is cultural donations. And I'll have that on the agenda later this week. I'm hoping to have to set it by tomorrow and have a meeting on Thursday.
And it didn't need to go in with this? When we did this?
No. Yeah, it's a separate bill.
Oh, okay.
That's in the
separate bill.
Yeah. It's a separate standalone cultural donations bill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so we only had these two pieces beyond the operation budget. We had this and cultural donations.
Okay.
So and then we would be finished once we finish that. Okay, so I'll report these two things out, and without objection, we're adjourned. Then, because we have nothing else, thank you for this evening. Thank you for having an evening.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Everything.
Thank you.
I can't wait.
Thank you for the whole committee. Yeah.
Because we're gonna be right behind you.